We saved the best for the last hour of our participation in this winter pledge drive.
Sugar man, won't you hurry? 'Cause I'm tired of these scenes. For a blue coin, won't you bring back all those colors to my dreams? Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane.
Coming up this hour, the story of Rodriguez, an enormously talented musician and songwriter, and those who can spot talent thought he would be the next Bob Dylan. In America, he wasn't. In South Africa, he was. But he didn't know that. He's also a humble man who worked many years as a laborer in Detroit, still playing his guitar, but more frequently for himself. Due to a bootleg copy, his music made its way to South Africa and became the music for the anti-apartheid movement. He was a huge star there. In 1998, he went to that country, didn't know he was a huge star, played to huge crowds, and he is still performing in South Africa. And many more people in the world are beginning to learn about him because this Sunday at the Academy Awards, a newly released documentary about this amazing story, Searching for Sugar Man, may just win the Best Documentary category. We have two fabulous guests with us this hour. Rhonda and I were both captivated by this story. She wound up to have listened to his music, his early music, and I saw a piece on television about him and said, we've just got to do a show on this, and so we are. And she has tracked down two important guests. Dennis Coffey is, if it weren't for Dennis Coffey, perhaps we would know nothing about Rodriguez. He's a musician, a session guitarist for Motown Records, former member of the Funk Brothers, author of Guitars, Bars, and Motown Superstars. He was a co-producer on the 1970 album Cold Fact by Rodriguez. Dennis Coffey, a real pleasure to speak with you, and thank you so much for being with us.
Nice to be with you. It's a pleasure to speak with you, too.
Also joining us from South Africa at Rhodes University is Richard Pithouse. He's a professor of political science at that university, and he will talk about the apartheid movement this hour and how Rodriguez's music was an important part of that movement. Richard, thank you very much for joining us from South Africa today.
A pleasure.
Yeah, great to have you here. And just to let our audience know, we're doing a couple things at the same time. We're highlighting his music. We're also in a pledge drive right now, and I guarantee you, if you pledge $120, we're going to send you this documentary, and you're going to be so happy you know about this man. I know our audience, you're just going to be so happy you've seen this. And you can pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Dennis, let's start with you. It was back in the 1970s, and you heard Rodriguez play in various places in Detroit and knew that this guy had something very special.
Well, you know how it happened is, back early in the day, there was a producer, Harry Balk, who owned Impact Records, and he hired Mike Theodore and myself to actually arrange two songs, and he recorded Rodriguez then, and nothing happened with those two songs. And then I remember Mike Theodore calling me one day and said, you know what, remember Rodriguez? Well, he's singing at this club down by the river called The Sewer. Let's go check him out. So we went into this club, and if you've seen the film, of course, it was smoky-filled,
yes,
you know, and all that business, and you could hear the freighters going by at night and such. And we go in this room, and we look in there, and there's Rodriguez singing, and he's facing the wall, playing his guitar, singing the songs. And I said, well, what's up with this guy? What's going on here, you know? So, you know, we listened to him, and we realized that, you know, maybe him facing the wall forced you to listen more closely to his material. And we said, we felt that he really had it. We said, you know, Rodriguez has really got something here, and we just said, you know, we need to get him a record deal.
Did you think that he was going to be the next Bob Dylan, Dennis?
We sure did.
You did.
Yeah, and just listening to his lyrics, and so Mike Theodore called Clarence Amon, who had Sussex Records, because we were house producers for Clarence, and said, you know, we got this guy Rodriguez, and you know, we want to record him. And Clarence really loved Rodriguez's stuff as well.
Well, and you, you're such an accomplished musician yourself. I would imagine you're a pretty good judge of talent, Dennis.
Well, we've you know, we found the gallery and recorded them in much the same way and had three hits on them. And, you know, I had hits on myself with Scorpio and Taurus and all that, you know, using the Funk Brothers in the rhythm section. So, and, you know, we had a big disco hit, CJ and Company. Devil's Gun was a huge hit. So we were doing pretty well in the business. So we developed an ear for going out and hearing talent because that's what we did.
For those who may not be at all familiar with Rodriguez, let's hear a little bit of what Dennis Coffey heard in Rodriguez back in the 1970s, hear a little bit more of his music, and then determine why in the world he didn't sell very many records. I've heard he sold like maybe six in the United States, and then we'll go to the South Africa story where he was a star. Here's Rodriguez.
Soon you know I'll leave ya, and I'll never look behind, 'cause I was born for the purpose that crucifies your mind. So convince your mirror, as you've always done before, giving substance to shadows, giving substance evermore.
He really is a poet, isn't he, Dennis?
Yes, it's just his way of words, and he wrote about his neighborhood. And what's really, I find, quite interesting is he lives around the Wayne State University area, and I've got a bachelor's and a master's degree from Wayne State. But his words and what he's talking about and all the social issues, it hasn't changed. They're still relevant. People are still saying,
yes.
Oh, that's still what's going on now.
Yes. So why did he only sell something like six albums?
You know what? I think one reason is I don't believe Sussex Records was really in tune to the underground FM market. You know, they were more R&B, and through Buddha distribution, they were popping mainly R&B with Bill Withers and things like that. I think had Rodriguez been playing in the East Village in New York and doing the coffee house circuit, he probably would have connected sooner with people. But, you know, he was kind of shy in the beginning, too. So he went out to L.A. for a minute and tried to do a little bit of that. I don't know where he performed, but he did the same thing and faced the wall, which he doesn't do now.
No, I bet he doesn't do
now. You know, and then the record people out there says, what's up with this guy? So, you know, I don't know. Mike Theodore and I always believed in him, as did Clarence, that he really had what it takes. And, you know, in the business, it's always easy to go back and analyze why it did or why it didn't. But, you know, I'm not really sure.
And the amazing thing is he's a star now and he's 70 years old. I love this story. Let's just go to South Africa for a moment and to you, Richard Pithouse. So Rodriguez is doing day labor, hard labor in Detroit, living incredibly modestly, has no idea that these beautiful, beautiful, haunting songs have become a theme for the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa. How important was his music?
His music was massively important in South Africa and across generations, you know, from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and it's still really, you know, something you'll encounter all the time now. He wasn't listened to by everyone in South Africa, but he certainly had a huge following here, and he was a star of the stature of Bob Marley or someone like that.
He was a Bob Marley kind of star.
Great people. Yeah, and he was.
Why? What was it about the lyrics, the music, that captivated people who were starting a very important movement, Richard?
Well, look, we have to be careful about something here. I mean, the film creates the impression that there's this kind of very direct association between Rodriguez and the anti-apartheid movement.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no question that many people who were involved in the struggle against apartheid listened to Rodriguez and many other kinds of music too, especially jazz, which, you know, when I was a teenager in the 80s, definitely was the most important music in the anti-apartheid movement. But there were also a lot of people in South Africa who were not politically engaged who listened to Rodriguez. I mean, he sold a huge amount of records here, and the majority of those people were not politically engaged. But I think there is something about living in a stifling, conservative, oppressive society, and even at a subconscious level, recognizing a kind of more open, free spirit in the music. And even if one is not necessarily politically engaged, still finding that attractive, seductive,
yes,
thing, dangerous, perhaps in an exciting way, you know?
Could you compare his influence in South Africa and the movement to any American artist? Would he be, say, a Peter, Paul, and Mary, Joan Baez kind of figure to our civil rights movement in the United States?
I don't think it would be exactly the same. You wouldn't have people singing Rodriguez songs on a protest or something like that. South Africa has a very vibrant music scene of its own and its own music culture. And, you know, people like Miriam Makeba or Hugh Masekela or any number of jazz artists would have been much more associated with mass politics, politics in the streets. Rodriguez was much more something you would hear at people's homes, at what Americans call a barbecue, we call it a braai, you know, at that kind of event. Even in a nightclub, I Wonder would be that the song I Wonder would be played in nightclubs. So it certainly, there was an association with people who were in the struggle, but it wasn't part of that kind of mass street politics.
Right.
That would be to misunderstand the situation. It was more part of the sort of just ordinary texture of life and spaces that people create.
Mm-hmm. We're talking this hour about Searching for Sugar Man. It's a documentary that has just been made, and the story of the documentary is it's just story after story that's absolutely amazing. It's the story of Rodriguez, who's was considered the next Bob Dylan in this country by a few people who know what they're talking about, people like Dennis Coffey, who's one of our guests this hour. And the song didn't go anywhere. The music didn't go anywhere. The documentary does interview Rodriguez, who's a terribly humble, unassuming kind of man who ran for mayor and was working on social causes. And because his musical dream seemed to not be going anywhere, he played in a few places and played for himself. He was rediscovered. He was a star, as I said, in South Africa. He had also become a star in Australia, but nothing here. And he had no idea that he was a star. So the documentary traces his going to South Africa with his daughters, who are equally unassuming and absolutely charming. And he's playing to these huge crowds. And now, because of the documentary, he's going to record another album. This story just gets better and better with every level. And he's performing again, even though he's somewhat frail at the age of 70. Let's play a little bit, and let's remind you, we saved the best for this hour. I hope you pledge this hour, because I guarantee you, you will find this a remarkable story. The documentary for $120 if you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
About the tears in children's eyes, and I wonder about the soldier that dies. I wonder, will this hatred ever end? I wonder, and worry my friend. I wonder, I wonder. Wonder, don't you? Born in a troubled city, in rock and roll USA, in the shadow of the tallest building, I vowed I would break away. Listen to the Sunday actors, but all they would ever say, that you can't get away from it.
Rodriguez, and we're talking about the documentary Searching for Sugar Man this hour of the program. We're also in our winter membership drive, and we really did save this hour because we were terribly excited about this story. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian. Listeners like you really are such an important part of making WPR possible.
Your support right now makes a big difference, and it gets you entered in today's drawing for an iPad mini. So make your gift of any amount right now and get entered in the drawing for an iPad mini at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our goal is 50 pledges this hour. And we do want to let you know because we know our audience pretty well. And I guarantee you, when you see this documentary, you will be really moved and you'll have faith in humanity. How many things do that? Searching for Sugar Man, only this hour. It is up for an Academy Award in Best Documentary this Sunday and may indeed win. So if you can pledge $120, you can pass this documentary around and really learn about this remarkable story about a very humble and extremely talented man. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Whether it's a 3-minute news update, a 60-minute talk show, stories that inspire you like this hour with Rodriguez, you hear about the topics that affect your life. And you hear about them on Wisconsin Public Radio. Listeners like you help pay for the quality programs that you hear every single day. So give now to support those programs at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As an added incentive, we have this special documentary for you. It's our last hour of asking for your support for our programs. You can get Searching for Sugar Man when you give $120, which is $10 a month. Ask for it now when you make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio in part because we're commercial-free. Commercial-free means we depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, and corporate funding are all important.
But actually, the single largest piece of the budget pie comes from you. Your support makes a difference. It's the backbone of our funding. Make your pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pledge any amount today, and you'll be entered in a drawing for an iPad mini. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian. We're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift may be $5, $10, or $100 a month, $120, and we'll send you the documentary Searching for Sugar Man. Whatever amount is the right amount, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, like Kathleen mentioned, you can get the Searching for Sugar Man documentary, like Kathleen mentioned, nominated for an Oscar this coming Sunday. For your pledge of $120 or more, 888-202-2552.
And we're looking, Lisa, for 44 more pledges in the next, how long have we got? 35 minutes.
We can do it.
We can
888-202-2552.
Thanks, Lisa. Oh, are we doing? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were going to play a little more music. We will during the course of this hour. We're speaking this hour with Dennis Coffey, musician, session guitarist for Motown Records, former member of the Funk Brothers, author of Guitars, Bars, and Motown Superstars, and Richard Pithouse, who's a professor of political science at Rhodes University in South Africa. Dennis, let's go back to you. The other thing that's captivating about this film and this man, and maybe we make too much of this in this age of celebrity, but there's something really genuine about him. He worked as a laborer. He ran for city council, a man of, it seems, no pretensions, who's just really a very somebody we ought to listen to, unpretentious, who went back to being a day laborer after he didn't become a big star. And in some ways, it was okay. And you can see the influence of his gentleness on each of his daughters in this film as well, can't you?
Yeah, they're very. I've not met Eva because she lives in South Africa, but I've met Sandra and her husband came down to hear me. I play every Tuesday night at the Northern Lights Lounge in Detroit with my quartet. And we also have met Reagan, you know, quite a few times. My wife, Millie, is pretty good friends with his daughter, Reagan.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so, very nice people.
And so he took the news okay that he didn't sell very many albums and just played quietly, or did he do tours every now and then?
You know, he played around town, different places. He used to call me quite late at night talking about the business, and I could tell he was, you know, very disappointed in what was going on, yet still trying to read Billboard and talk about touring. This was back when he had no hope of doing any of that, and there was not too much that I could do about it because I was in the record business for 25 years, and then my career, like everybody else sometimes in the business, hits crashes and burns. So I went to work on the assembly line and got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree and was actually consulting for the automotives for the last 20 years. So things change. That's how life is.
That's fascinating. Here you are, a guy who's played lead guitar for the Temptations, hits that were just huge in this country, and look at the trajectory of your life. You had to give it up for a while.
Yeah, you did. But you know what? You either whine about it and it doesn't do any good,
right,
complain, or you just refocus, and that's what I did. So it was the right move for me.
Right. So let's go back to South Africa for a moment. Richard Pithouse, Rodriguez winds up going to South Africa to perform in 1998. Tell me how that came about and why he had such huge crowds and what it was like for him to be received that way in South Africa.
Well, I mean, the film shows, I think, quite beautifully the just tremendous excitement, you know, echoes perhaps of, you know, something like Beatlemania when he arrived here. You must remember, and the film is quite right about this, that everyone in South Africa believed that Rodriguez was dead.
Yes, you know, yes.
The one I was told was that he had shot himself on stage in Moscow. And so, you know, for a long time we thought there was only one album. Later on we discovered there was a second. But we thought he was dead, you know. Like they say in the film, it was like Jimi Hendrix, you know. I mean,
yes,
it would be quite astonishing if you suddenly saw that Jimi Hendrix was coming to tour. So it was really something kind of magical about it because music had been part of people's lives over generations. It had really just been part of the texture of life for a lot of people, but always with this assumption that he was dead and that he had this very sad ending. Suddenly he was alive and he was coming, and you know, as they show in the film, a lot of people thought, no, this can't be true. It must be a scam. You know, they must have found someone who's going to just cover the songs. But, of course, it was true. And there was, you know, overwhelming enthusiasm. And there still is. I mean, people haven't got used to the fact that Rodriguez comes to South Africa. I mean, he just played in Cape Town. I didn't go because I've got a small child. But some of my students did, people who are 19, 20 years old. And it was tremendously exciting.
He played this week, didn't he? Didn't he play yesterday?
Yeah, in Johannesburg and before that in Cape Town. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he's beginning to be discovered, of course, with this documentary, if it wins the Academy Award, probably in even a larger way. How rare is this, Dennis, for a performer to spend all of these years playing quietly, for the most part, to himself and working as a day laborer, and then to be discovered and start making an album again? He's making a new album, and he's 70 years old.
Well, you know, you couldn't. I don't think Hollywood could write.
Right.
A story like this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how phenomenal the story was. But, you know, I had an album out worldwide a couple of years ago and toured London and Paris and all over the U.S. and Canada. You know, so it does happen, but it's so rare for someone to be overlooked for 30, 40 years and then,
right,
bam, this thing takes off. That is just like almost like a one-of-a-kind story. You couldn't make up something like that.
Yeah, you can't. Let's go to a phone call. Catherine is calling from Madison. I think she's seen the documentary. Hi, Catherine.
This is the Sundance Movie Theater here in Madison.
Oh,
and I
great.
I went to see the documentary. And I was so blown away that during the movie, I was Facebooking Tag Evers of True Endeavors, who brings people, who does music concerts here.
Oh.
And he told me he had already been here, and I was crushed that he had already been in Madison. You know, I just didn't think at 63 I could have a crush on anyone. I mean, and it's of such a different type because of the depth of who he is and his
mm-hmm.
music and
mm-hmm.
how he approaches life. It's just absolutely amazing. It was absolutely a stupendous experience, and I can't wait to hear him sometime.
I know. Isn't it a story? And you just walk away from it and say, you just sort of restores your faith in humanity in a way, and that doesn't happen very often.
It tells you that you never know, even if you think you've failed, what you've contributed to the world.
Right.
You could help a little kid sometime in the classroom that you work in and never know that that was the thing that kept the kid going. That's what it's about. We really don't see the big picture, and we should have faith that we're throwing it out there and something good's going to come out of it.
Mm. Well, I hope he comes to Madison again in Milwaukee. I hope that he's capable enough of doing a lot of touring. Thank you, Catherine, so much. I'm glad you responded that way. I've been wanting to talk. Not too many people have seen this yet, so it's terrific that you called in. Thank you. And I just want to let everybody know that you ought to see this documentary. And if you can pledge $120 this hour, it's our final hour of asking you for your support. You are not going to be disappointed. This story will stay with you forever. WPR.org or 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. Is there a chance, do you think, Dennis, that this film could win documentary on Sunday?
You know, it's like it's almost like a Rocky story, only it's true.
Right.
And so it just seems like I saw it again. I saw it about three or four times with my wife, figuring I might as well get a shot at me on the big screen as well. and it's still running here every day in two different theaters.
Oh, it is.
Right, yeah. And at the end of the movie, the audience broke out in this wild applause. And there's no one on the stage. They're just applauding because they liked it.
Right, I can see why that happens. Let's play a little bit more from the documentary. We were captivated by a construction co-worker of Rodriguez who's featured in the film Searching for Sugar Man. And it's just this kind of guy you just want to say, Rick, come on over, let's have coffee and let's talk about life. So here's Rick Emerson, who talks about Rodriguez. He worked with him, talking about him as an artist.
He approached the work from a different place than most people do. He took it very, very seriously, sort of like a sacrament, you know. He was going to do this dirty, dirty work for 8 or 10 hours, okay? But he was dressed in a tuxedo. He had this kind of magical quality that all genuine poets and artists have to elevate things, to get above the mundane, the prosaic, all the mediocrity that's everywhere. The artist is the pioneer. Even his musical hopes were dashed, the spirit remained, and he just had to keep finding a place, refining the process of how to apply himself. He knew that there was something more. It was in the early 80s. He wanted to do something righteous, make a difference. So lo and behold, he told me that he was going to run for mayor. And I thought, well, God bless you, Rodriguez. You know, if you can become mayor of Detroit, then anything is possible.
Met a girl from the- I love that guy. Rick Emerson. God bless you, Rick Emerson. He's a construction co-worker featured in the film. And you can see why the two of them would be friends, because they're both just so genuine and lovely. Talking about him as an artist. Have you met this Rick Emerson, Dennis? This guy is lovely.
I've not met him. I did a show with Rodriguez a few years back because I played guitar and bass, you know, on his Backed album and some of the other cuts. So I went up with the band that was backing him up, and I did a couple of my hits, and then he and I got up and did one of the songs that I played with him on the album and performed that together, and then I sat down and watched the rest of his show. So this was just a couple years ago in Detroit.
And let's talk to you a moment again, Richard. Do people in South Africa, have they seen this documentary? Do they know how big this story has become?
Oh, of course. I mean, the documentary has been hugely successful here. It's been playing for months and months.
Oh, it has.
Even small towns. The sales of the DVD are very good. In the small rural town where I'm teaching here, there's big posters of Rodriguez advertising the DVD in the local music shop. It's huge here, and people have a very personal relationship to the story and to the film. I mean, it's something people don't watch once. They watch it 3, 4, 5 times. They watch it over and over again.
Right.
And they're moved not only by the story of Rodriguez that meant so much to them, but also by his daughters, by the guy you just had a clip from, they're moved by the whole story, and yeah, it's been massively successful here.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that. We're talking about Searching for Sugar Man this hour of the program, the documentary, which also happens to be our premium. We save the best to last. You didn't know this was coming, but here it is. So for $120, as our guest from South Africa said, you can watch this baby over and over and over and play it for other people, and you'll all be astounded by the story and have faith that good things do happen, and indeed do things do happen. So to pledge, here's how you do it. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Again, Searching for Sugar Man, it will be our thank you to you for $120 pledge. So I really think you ought to call. This is our winter membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian.
And when you pledge at 888-202-2552, pledge $120 or more and receive the documentary that we're talking about right now. And also, you will be entered in a drawing for an iPad mini. So a contribution of any amount will support the programs you enjoy and get you entered in a drawing for an iPad mini. So make your gift right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we're looking, Lisa, for 28 more pledges. 28 of you, you don't know what you're missing if you don't pledge this hour. Don't miss this one. Just don't miss it. It's too good to miss. Thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What happens in the rest of the world matters to us. What was going on in Rodriguez's life matters to us. That's why Wisconsin Public Radio is so important. We talk with experts in all kinds of fields from all over. Today, South Africa. 888-202-2552, WPR.org.
We know that you value being an informed citizen. Make a pledge to the station that keeps you connected and connects you with the goodness in the world sometimes. We're happy to do that. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you call, you decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge is appreciated, and every pledge helps pay for the programs you love on WPR. Consider asking for Searching for Sugar Man as your thank you gift when you give $120 or more. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I think this probably happens to you. You hear something on Wisconsin Public Radio that you wanted to pass on to a friend. With program notes on the website and audio archives, you can pass things on, and maybe you already do.
It's a great way to stay connected with others by passing on ideas, stories, and information. We help you stay connected with your friends and family and the world. So your donation keeps this connection going. Make your pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Going down a dirty inner city side road, I plotted. Madness passed me by. She smiled high. I nodded. Looked up at the sky, began to cry. She shot it. Met a girl from Dearborn early 6 o'clock this morning, Colfax. Asked about a bag, suburbia such a drag, won't go back. 'Cause Papa don't allow no new. The picture's not too clear. Mama, Papa, stop. Treasure what you got. Soon you may be caught without it.
Searching for Sugar Man, a truly remarkable story this hour. Richard Pithouse joining us from South Africa, professor of political science at Rhodes University, and Dennis Coffey, well-known musician, session guitarist for Motown Records, former member of the Funk Brothers, author of Guitars, Bars, and Motown Superstars, and he also played guitar and bass for the Cold Fact Rodriguez album back in the 1970s. Our phone number, we don't mean to exclude you from this conversation. It sounds like some of you have had a chance to see this documentary, and I hope many more will. Our number for on air is 800-486-8655, And is it Julie from Madison? Hi, Julie.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good, thank you. This is my first call online, so I'm a little nervous. But I had to call in because I'm at home and I was listening to the radio. I heard the music and I thought, I know that music.
Uh-huh.
And I grew up in Australia and I had that album. And I was so surprised to hear. I haven't seen the movie yet, although I've had some friends who said it's very good. But I had no idea it was about Rodriguez. So I was just curious. When did the album come out? The Sugar Man album. Do you know?
Dennis knows because he played on it.
Yeah, I think it was the late '60s that album came out. Maybe early '70s.
Early '70s. Okay, because I must have been listening to it. I think in the early '80s, late '70s, because that's sort of the period. Anyway, I just remember as teenagers or young people, we'd be singing "I Wonder" and we'd always sort of yell out the line, and I wonder how many times you've had sex and people
right.
laugh and think it was so funny. But anyway, thanks for the program. I'm really looking forward to seeing the movie.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that he was popular in Australia, at least in certain circles, and you've brought back some great memories.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you for the call. Richard, he did go beyond South Africa, didn't he? Australia, anywhere else? And why Australia? Do you know?
I have no idea, but he did definitely have a following in Australia and New Zealand, not to the same scale as in South Africa. He toured a couple of times in the late 70s and early 80s, played, arenas, I think 2,000-3,000-seat arenas. So he definitely did have something of a following in New Zealand and Australia, as well as South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think on the same scale, but that is not something that the film acknowledges, and it has been criticized for that.
Yeah.
So it probably did make an error of judgment in leaving that out. Because in a way, it's kind of been used almost to undermine the film, where in fact, the essential story the film tells is very true, that Rodriguez had this massive success in South Africa. He was unaware of it. He was living this very humble life in Detroit, came here and was a superstar. That's all true. But he did have some success in Australia and New Zealand.
That's yeah. But he had no success monetarily, Dennis, and here he was selling huge numbers of records in South Africa. Was he getting ripped off in some way? How
Absolutely.
Did that happen?
The bootleggers.
Was.
I got albums out in Europe right now. The bootleggers, they got pressing plants and everything. I bought one of my albums in London. I didn't buy it. I went with my publisher to a record store, and I find an album that was recorded the same time as the Rodriguez album, my Hair and Things album. It's still in the shrink wrap, and this was like 7 years ago in London, and then the guy was showing me the album and kind of handed it to me, and I walked out, and my publisher said, "Well, you didn't pay him." I said, "Well, he sure isn't paying me. I know a bootleg when I see one."
Huh. So that's what happened. Let's go to Bill in Madison. Hi, Bill.
Hi. If one wanted to get acquainted with his music, what would be the first album of the two that you would recommend?
Cold Fact would be the one I would recommend. That's the one that got him started in South Africa, and that was his first album. Cold Fact was the first one.
Cold Fact, Bill.
Yes.
Got it? Can you get it, Dennis? Is it available?
Yes, you can, yes.
All right. And tell me about this resurgence of a career. Richard, let's talk to you because some of your students went to his concert last night. He's performed in South Africa before going to the Academy Awards. I have heard that he is somewhat frail. Is he still a vigorous performer?
Well, I tell you what my students said. They said, yes, he's frail. He doesn't have 100% eyesight anymore. He has to be kind of led onto the stage. But they said his voice was strong and clear. And, the show wasn't long or massively energetic. But they were really moved by it. And I mean, they traveled 9 hours to get there.
Oh, my. Did they really?
Big time. They thought it was worth it, absolutely worth it. 9 hours there and back on the road. So,
Everything about this story, your jaw drops up and they open. They traveled 9 hours to hear him now. Let's go to Bill in Pewaukee. Hi, Bill.
Hi there. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. We just saw the documentary the other night and just a lot of good stuff about it, but one of the things in particular, another one of the feel-good aspects of the story, I guess, was as I recall it, it's the time when he was doing his first concert in South Africa, after he was sort of rediscovered. And the commentary says something to the effect of, I don't know the exact words, but what I heard him say was, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if everybody would have just one moment in their life when the world appreciated what a neat person they were?
Yes.
It's another, like I said, it made my wife and I just feel even better about the movie.
Isn't that the truth, Dennis? If you just have a few moments where... I was just thinking what it was like to be Rodriguez when he performed in South Africa, that even though it didn't go to his head in any way, just to know how you're appreciated on this earth. Everybody should know that. We've all done a few things, right?
Yeah, at the same time, the first time I played in London, and I went over there to do a book tour and everything, and there's a music called Northern Soul that's very popular in London, and that's some of the earlier records that I played on, and it's just like the response, the people over there know more about the sessions I played on than I even can remember. And the curator of the museum in Motown says, we probably have more artifacts of Detroit music and things that you've done in our museum here than you have over there.
Yeah, isn't that something? Richard, do you feel appreciated as a professor?
Well, sometimes, yes. Depends on what one's doing at the particular moment. But there is something magnificent about that moment in the film where not just Rodriguez, but his three daughters, step off the plane in Cape Town and, they see the limousines and I think there's a red carpet, if I remember correctly, and they sort of think, oh, we better move out the way. There's obviously someone important coming here. And it's like, no, this is...
It's Rodriguez.
I mean, that sudden moment where you step into a completely different reality, it is extraordinary.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely extraordinary. We welcome our phone calls. If you'd like to join our conversation, the number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And Rhonda and I decided this would be our final hour for pledging because it was such an extraordinary story. She heard him when she was in Australia, and I didn't know anything about him until I saw actually a 60 Minutes piece a few months ago, and I came to work that Monday, and I said, I can't believe what I just saw. And then she said, I know that guy. I listened to his music, and it just went on from that. And we got this documentary and figured this is something that you got to spread the joy sometimes. And this is just on so many levels. First, you can discover a new performer who really has a lot to say about the human condition. And then his story is also remarkable. So it's the story of Rodriguez searching for Sugar Man, the documentary, and the documentary is now up for an Academy Award to top it off for this Sunday in Best Documentary. And indeed, it may win. It may win. So pledge, if you would, please, $120. And it's our thank you to you for being great listeners, too. 800. It's not 800 to pledge. It's 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552, $120 pledge. You know, if it's a lot of money, go together with somebody and pass this documentary along. It's one of those things that started really small, and now I hope it wins on Sunday. It's just blossoming. Everybody's hearing about Rodriguez, and he's worth hearing about. I love it. All right, let's go to Bonnie. Bonnie is calling in Waukesha. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi there, Kathleen.
Hi, Bonnie.
I'm so glad you did this show today. We're sustaining members, so I can't up the pledge, but I just went on Amazon and I purchased the movie as well as two CDs.
Oh, did you? Great.
Just so you know that. When we watched it on TV a few weeks ago, we just got tears in our eyes. It was such a wonderful story.
Isn't it a story, Bonnie?
And he's a good man.
Yes, yes.
He's a very good man, and we're that generation from Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Chad Mitchell, and all of that. And listening to the lyrics and this as the story was being told, they were beautiful, beautiful lyrics.
Yeah, they are
so
beautiful.
I'm so glad you do this program today. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you. I'm glad you were listening. I'm so glad we're doing it, too. I'm glad. Phil, let's go to Phil in Madison. Hi, Phil.
Hi there. Yeah, I saw the movie. It's amazing. I grew up in Detroit. I actually sort of I know Rodriguez's employer. I used to babysit for his kids.
Oh, did you?
Rick Emerson, who's featured in the film, was a family friend who's also an amazing musician in his own right.
Is he really?
I'm not surprised at all that such a diamond in the rough was found in Detroit. There's so many talented people, especially in the construction industries there. Everybody who does anything with manual labor in Detroit seems to be a musician first and foremost. So.
Oh, I can't believe you know Rick, too. I was so captivated by what Rick had to say. He just struck me as the nicest person.
Oh, he's an amazing man. Yeah, I went to the same school as all of his kids. My little brother and one of his oldest sons were best friends growing up. I was in a band with his son, Chris Emerson. Rick is just a really, really nice guy. He's a cool dad and just a really nice guy. And I hate that he's described as construction worker in the film because he's really so much more than that. He's a master carpenter and a really wonderful musician, too.
Yeah, but the thing is, it would be okay with him to be described as a construction worker, which is one of the reasons you love him, because you realize the value of that work. And you realize that from Rodriguez, too, that it's not just being a phenomenal musician. It's the value of doing hard work as a laborer, which I thought was remarkable. We're just kind of, I want to tell you that because we're running short on time. This documentary, it is nominated, and it may win on Sunday, Best Documentary. I haven't seen the other ones, but I'm really... captivated by this, Searching for Sugar Man, and we are, Lisa is with me. It makes you want to see this film.
It really does.
I know.
I was calculating it in my head, like how much sleep can I go without to watch this documentary before Sunday? That last call was spectacular. I'm just sitting here.
I know.
Sitting here
the
in
story
shock.
Keeps giving.
You have to pledge for that call. My goodness. 888-202-2552 or online WPR.org.
And we are looking for two more callers, but we'd like to go way over so that you can experience what we have experienced here, too. The pledge number, again, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. We're going to play a little bit more of the music in a moment. But, Dennis, let me ask you, are you going to be at the Academy Awards?
You know what? I'm going out to L.A. A week after that. There's a family wedding, a big deal out there. The Academy Awards, I send Malik an email, and I don't think there were that many invites to all the people that were involved from a production level. So I'll be going out there a week after that to do something else.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis, so much. And Richard, thank you. I just want both of you to know that you are appreciated. You are deeply appreciated. So thank you. Thanks for being with us. We'll hear a little bit more of Rodriguez in a moment here on the Ideas Network.
And you measure for wealth by the things you can hold. And you measure for love by the sweet things you're told. And you live in the past of a dream that you're in. And your selfishness is your cardinal sin. And you want to be held with highest regard. It delights you so much if he's trying so hard. And you try to conceal your ordinary way with a smile or a shrug or some stolen cliche.
And that's the music of Rodriguez. We just had somebody call in asking which album to buy, and he walked into a record store simultaneously and bought it in Madison. So they know about Rodriguez in Madison. There are many copies of Rodriguez CDs in Madison. Searching for Sugar Man is the documentary. It might win the Academy Award for Best Documentary. We wanted to go out on a high note with this pledge drive and give a premium to you for $120 pledge that we know you are going to love, love, love.
888-202-2552 or at WPR.org. Pledge right now. It makes such a big difference. This is the last hour, Kathleen. Pitching during this drive. So call right now, show your support. $120, get the DVD. 888-202-2552.
Yeah, please pledge this hour. It's our last chance, as Lisa was saying, this is our last time to come to you during this winter pledge drive to ask for your support. I love this story. You should also, I mean, look at the guests that we have. A tribute to Rhonda, too, for getting Dennis Coffey and this professor of political science at the university, Rhodes University in South Africa, to bring these kinds of shows to you. I just think that they're very well produced and they are highly interesting. And they, you know, I hate to be too lofty about this, but there is an attempt to make things better sometimes when we do this show. So $120 pledge. You won't be disappointed. I guarantee you, you won't be disappointed. Searching for Sugar Man, the documentary.
We've been having one heck of a conversation about this film, Searching for Sugar Man. So take a moment and make this hour and so many more hours possible. 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Lisa. Here's the I Wonder song. I can sing along to it now, too. I won't, though. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning. Thanks to Katie Madsen. Thanks to Gina and Adam and Lisa for all the help during Pledge. And thanks for pledging.